Welcome back to the Kurdish Research Audio Archive.
Great to be back.
Today we're turning our attention to a really fascinating topic, Newroz.
Mm-hmm.
It's the Kurdish New Year, yes, and a spring festival. But, well, the sources we've looked at, research papers, articles, cultural studies, they really show it so much more, specifically from the Kurdish perspective.
Exactly. Our aim here is to sort of unpack those layers of meaning. The materials make it clear it's, you know, far beyond just a holiday. It's deeply woven into cultural identity, history, even political experience for Kurds.
And the name itself is a great starting point, isn't it? Newroz. It just means new day.
Right.
But that simple phrase, as these sources show, carries, well, immense significance. Hints at those ancient roots, that connection to nature renewing itself.
Absolutely. Let's start right there with the etymology. The sources explain Newroz comes from Kurdish words nu, for new, and rose, which can mean day or even sun.
So literally, a new day, a new sun, a fresh start.
Precisely. Signaling the end of that dark, cold winter, the arrival of light, warmth, spring.
And that ties it straight to the vernal equinox around March 21st. You know, the moment light starts winning over darkness.
It's that natural marker for spring, for life renewing, a time for hope, really, shaking off the past year's burdens.
And these celebrations go way back.
Oh, incredibly far. The sources trace them back over 3,000 years. They have roots in ancient Persian traditions and definitely links to Zoroastrianism.
Ah, right. And fire was central there.
What? Hugely central. A symbol of purification, defiance against evil. It represented warmth, light, sustenance. And that tradition, the fire, is still absolutely key in Newroz today.
Now, some Kurdish narratives in the sources push that even further back, don't they? Mentioning someone named Ki Murs fighting an evil spirit way before Christ, using fires to signal victory.
That's right. Those accounts exist. And then there's the scholarly angle connecting it to the Medes, who many see as ancestors of the Kurds.
The Medes. Mm. They rose around 700 BC and beat the Assyrians at Nineveh in 612 BC.
Exactly. A major victory ending Assyrian oppression. And some Kurds actually mark that 612 BC date as their new year. It intertwines that historical liberation with the mythological aspect.
Which brings us squarely to that core legend, the one that really defines Newroz for so many Kurds.
The story of Kawa the blacksmith and the tyrant king Zahak. This isn't just folklore. The sources really frame it as foundational.
It's an incredibly powerful story. Zahak, this evil foreign king, sometimes described as Assyrian, his reign lasted, what, 1,000 years, according to legend?
1,000 years, yes. And his cruelty literally prevented spring from arriving.
And the detail about the serpents, that's chilling. Okay. Growing from his shoulders, needing the brains of two young men sacrificed daily.
Horrifying. It speaks to absolute tyranny.
But then comes Kawa. A blacksmith.
A humble blacksmith, but one who had suffered directly. The sources say he'd lost several children already, some say two, others six, to Zahak's demands.
So it was personal. He refused to sacrifice his last son.
He refused. And that refusal sparked something bigger. He rallied the people, the oppressed, to rise up against Zahak.
Using his apron. Right. His leather blacksmith's apron on a spear.
That's the one. The Darash Kaviani. An improvised banner, but it became this incredible symbol of rebellion and later sovereignty.
And he led the charge, stormed the castle.
He did. And according to the legend, he killed Zahak with his own blacksmith hammer, defeated tyranny with the tool of his trade.
Wow. And the bonfires? This is the direct link.
This is the crucial link. After the victory, Kawa climbed a mountainside and lit a massive bonfire.
Not just celebration, but a signal.
Exactly. A signal to everyone below, announcing the victory, the end of that 1,000-year oppression, liberation.
And spring returned the next day, March 20th or 21st, the new day.
That's the legend, linking the natural cycle directly to this act of liberation.
There's also that fascinating part about the young men Kawa saved.
Ah, yes. The legend says those rescued youths were trained by Kawa, formed the army that defeated Zahak, and are considered the ancestors of the Kurdish people.
And some sources even link the word Kurd to an old term for blacksmith.
That connection is made in some accounts, yeah. Directly tying the ethnic identity back to Kawa and this foundational act.
So you can see how this isn't just an old story. It's a living metaphor, isn't it? For the ongoing Kurdish struggle against oppression, the search for freedom.
Absolutely. And those Newroz bonfires today, they're seen as directly commemorating Kawa's signal fire. They embody liberation, defiance, resilience. It fundamentally shapes Kurdish identity around this narrative of struggle and endurance.
And modern figures really latched onto this. The sources mention the poet Pirmerd in the 1930s.
Mm-hmm. He was apparently instrumental in consciously linking Nuro's celebrations back to the Kawa legend, elevating it from, you know, just a traditional festival to a potent symbol of the Kurdish national movement and cultural identity.
His Nuro's anthem is still widely sung.
It is. And the visual symbolism is strong, too. The colors of Kawa's apron, red, yellow, green,
became the Kurdish national colors.
Exactly. Cementing that link between the myth, the festival, and national identity, sometimes that 612 BC date, the Median victory, gets tied in with Kawa's victory, too, further embedding it all.
Oh, Hannah the Chai Lady is here. Roj Bosh Hannah.
Ah, brilliant. Perfect timing.
Wonderful. Let's see. Oh, this is good today. Really good. Not too bitter, just right. Nice and warm.
It is lovely, isn't it? Just what we needed. A little moment of warmth before we get into how Nuroz is actually celebrated today.
Absolutely. Okay. Feeling nicely refreshed. Let's look at the actual festivities. The sources say while there are core themes, the customs vary, right? Across Kurdistan and in the diaspora.
They do vary, yeah. The main period is usually March 18th to 24th, peaking on the 21st. And in places like the Kurdistan region of Iraq, it's a proper public holiday for several days.
And the bonfires are the absolute icon.
Undeniably. Lighting them on March 20th, Nuroz Eve, is central. In public spaces, on hillsides. It's the physical end of winter, start of spring.
But more than that, it's Kawa's fire.
Exactly. Commemorating that signal. Uh-huh. Freedom, defiance, purification. People gather, they dance, sing, sometimes jump over the flames for luck or cleansing.
And the clothes. The sources mention people wearing new, brightly colored, traditional Kurdish outfits.
Yes, those vibrant reds, yellows, greens. It's a very visible, very proud display of cultural identity.
And the dancing. Govind or Halpark?
Integral. People linking hands, forming circles or lines, often around the fires or in big open spaces. There's music. It really builds that sense of community, shared joy.
And the music itself and the poetry, they carry the stories.
Right. Traditional songs about spring, freedom, Kawa. Poets like Ahmad Khani and definitely Pir Imrd are important. His Nuroz anthem is everywhere.
And the instruments, daf, zurna, dahol.
Mm-hmm. Percussion like daf and dahol, wind instruments like the zurna and blur, and those long-necked lutes, tembur, saz, buzuk, they create the soundscape.
Food's important too, naturally.
Mm.
Family gatherings, picnics outdoors.
Very much so. Celebrating nature's return, special dishes are made. It varies regionally, of course, but things like yaprak stuffed vegetables symbolizing bounty.
And reshte polo. Noodle rice.
Yes, sometimes eaten on the first day. The sources suggest it symbolizes taking control of your destiny for the year ahead. Lots of fresh seasonal ingredients.
And there are other smaller rituals, too. Conflict resolution, visiting relatives.
Yes, resolving disputes, visiting family graves, smashing pottery for good luck in some areas, cutting spring flowers like tulips. Lots of local variations.
And these variations can be quite distinct regionally.
Definitely. In Iranian Kurdistan, the sources talk about traditions like shin growing greenery or the Kalatra Shama fire festival, gavanche gifts, that reshte polo again, shawl dropping ceremonies, even performances like mirmarin. And they note men and women often dance together more openly there.
Whereas in southern Kurdistan, Iraq, it's maybe those massive bonfires, like in Acre.
Yeah.
Thousands with torches on the mountainside.
Acre is famous for that, yes. Then you look at Turkish Kurdistan, especially Diyarbakir, and the sources describe enormous gatherings, often very politically charged because of that history of suppression.
And in Syrian Kurdistan, Rojava.
There, the sources mention loud music, burning diesel or tire sometimes on the eve, then big, colorful festivals with flags, traditional clothes. The liberation of Kobani from ISIS around Nuroz in 2015 apparently added another layer, casting ISIS as a modern Zahak.
But sadly, not everywhere. In occupied Afrin.
Right. Renewed suppression there, even reports of Kawa statues being destroyed. A direct attack on the symbol.
So those core symbols remain incredibly potent. Fire, light, resistance, the colors. Red, yellow, green from Kawa's apron, representing the nation, martyrs, spring, the land, food, even the number 21.
And all these rituals together, the fire, dance, music, food, what they do, according to the sources, is reinforce those community bonds, cultural continuity, and that shared identity built on resilience and hope.
Resilience is definitely the word. And that leads us straight into Nuroz's resistance. The sources are clear. For Kurds, this is not just cultural. It's a powerful assertion of identity. A symbol of the struggle for self-determination, amplified by decades of persecution.
Absolutely. Just the act of celebrating, lighting fires, wearing the clothes, singing, dancing openly, has historically been defiance. Defiance against states trying to erase Kurdish culture.
A visible declaration, we exist. And the Kalwa myth gives it that ancient framing, right? An ongoing fight for freedom.
Precisely. And states have actively tried to stop it. Turkey, for instance, outlawed it completely until 1992.
Tried to rebrand it as Turkish Nevruz, prosecuted people for using the Kurdish spelling Newroz.
And the clashes that often resulted just paradoxically made it an even stronger symbol of resistance. By the late 80s, it was intensely linked to the resurgence of Kurdish identity in Turkey.
And under Saddam in Iraq.
Large public gatherings were forbidden. Plus, the timing of horrors like the Anfal campaign, the Halabja attack, often falling just before Newroz. It adds this layer of deep mourning and memory. So celebrating openly after Saddam fell became incredibly meaningful, a symbol of freedom hard won.
Syria, too, under the Ba'athists. Restrictions, violence.
Mm-hmm. Celebrations were often secret, were met with force. Even teaching Kurdish or using Kurdish names was risky. It was really only with the autonomous administration in Rojava that open celebration became possible, this vibrant expression of Kurdishness. But as we said, that's not the case in occupied areas like Afrin.
And Iran. Druze is national there, but...
But specifically, Kurdish expressions of nationalism during Newroz can still face trouble. Authorities might demand approvals, insist on Iranian flags, clamp down on Kurdish symbols. The sources mention recent years seeing very large defiant turnouts in Kurdish cities, women without hijabs, people in khaki associated with Peshmerga, leading to state backlash.
So Newroz becomes a platform for speeches, demonstrations for rights, for autonomy, a symbol of unity, like those massive crowds in Diyarbakir.
And it's worth noting, the sources discuss how groups like the PKK strategically adopted the Kalwa myth back in the late 80s.
Framing figures like Maslam Duzan, who died on March 21st, as contemporary Kalwas.
Exactly. Linking Newroz directly to martyrdom, revolution, the quest for a new free time. So in some areas, celebrations might feature images of martyrs or figures like Ocalan. It's important, as you said, that we're just relaying how the sources describe the use and interpretation of these symbols in that political context, completely impartially.
It really highlights how layered the meaning is. It's truly a global flame, though, isn't it? Despite the core themes, you get these distinct regional ways of celebrating. Acre's torches, Rojava's diesel fires, Turkey's political charge.
And then, crucially, you have the diaspora. For Kurds living abroad, Newroz is absolutely vital for cultural preservation, community building, raising awareness.
It's a way to connect back to heritage, pass traditions to kids, maintain identity. You see huge festivals in Europe, right? Like in Cologne.
Yes, Cologne is often mentioned as a major hub. It builds that sense of community far from the homeland.
And it serves that diplomatic function, too. Educating host communities, inviting officials.
Cultural diplomacy, political advocacy, absolutely. Raising awareness of Kurdish culture, history, and their situation?
Though the sources mention it's not always straightforward, even in the diaspora. Internal differences, sometimes monitoring or restrictions from host governments or states of origin.
Right, sometimes facing accusations linked to politics back home, which can complicate what should be a simple cultural celebration.
But despite all that, it clearly remains this incredibly vibrant, unifying force for Kurds worldwide. That greeting, Newroz Piroz be, Happy Newroz. You hear it everywhere.
Definitely. And maybe comparing it briefly to Persian Nowruz helps put it in context.
Good idea. They share those ancient Iranic Zoroastrian roots, right? Uh-huh. Both around the spring equinox.
Yes. Shared roots, celebrating spring, renewal. Both often involve fire, though. As we said, the focus differs. The Çarşamba Suri fire jumping for Persians versus the big Newroz Eve bonfires for Kurds. Both involve new clothes, family gatherings, food, music, dance.
But the differences are key. The mythology, first off.
Completely different. Kalwa and Zahak are central for Kurds. For Persians, it's more about King Jamshid and, critically, the Hafsin table.
And the political dimension. Huge difference.
Massive. Deeply politicized resistance symbol for Kurds, primarily cultural and familial for mainstream Persians.
A central symbol, too. Fire and Kalwa for Kurds, the Hafsin table for Persians.
Exactly. And that Hafsin tradition itself, not typically part of Kurdish Newroz. The specific rituals also diverge those communal bonfires. The open govan dancing for Kurds versus Persian traditions like Çarşamba Suri jumping, the spring cleaning or kantikani, growing the sabza sprouts, the Sizde Bedar picnic.
And public dancing.
The sources often note it's more common, more open, often mixed gender in Kurdish celebrations compared to potentially more restricted or less prevalent public dancing in contemporary Iran.
So that history of oppression, combined with the absolute centrality of the Kalwa myth, it really has shaped Kurdish Newroz into something unique. A political statement about liberation and identity, distinct from the main Persian focus.
Academic work really backs this up. Scholars study Newroz for exactly that role in Kurdish identity, especially in the diaspora. They analyze the Kawa legend as this meta-narrative driving political action, look at how it evolved into this primary symbol of struggle, including its use by groups like the PKK, focusing on martyrdom, agency.
So the research frames it as much more than a holiday. It's a performance, isn't it? Encapsulating history, myth, identity, resistance, hope.
Exactly. So wrapping things up, the sources consistently paint Kurdish Newroz as this incredible story of cultural endurance, of adaptation, of just immense symbolic power. Yes, it's rooted in ancient spring rites, but the Kawa legend defines it as a festival of liberation, of resistance. The traditions embody that.
And maybe the most striking thing is how the attempts to suppress it, the historical oppression, actually seemed to have strengthened its role, made it the symbol of Kurdish identity, self-determination, cultural recognition.
But the flame just keeps burning. It's more than a new day. It's that constant rebirth of hope, a celebration of heritage, a declaration that Kurdish identity, Kurdish aspirations for freedom, they endure. It really is a testament to resilience.
And with that powerful thought, we wrap up this exploration of Newroz, drawing on the sources we've discussed.
We really hope this conversation has given you, the listener, a perhaps deeper appreciation for how a festival like Newroz can be so packed with history, identity, political struggle, especially in the face of adversity.
Makes you think, doesn't it? How that simple idea, a new day, can be such a potent unifying force for a community, particularly one that's faced so many challenges.
And maybe it prompts a question for you to consider. What cultural symbols in your own life or in communities you know carry those hidden layers of history, resistance, and hope that aren't immediately obvious?
Something to reflect on. Thank you for joining us for this conversation on the Kurdish Research Audio Archive.